Hi everyone, weekly stock market update. Welcome one and all. And I'm going to start sharing my screen with you straight away. You're going to need a phone for this and a phone camera because there's a few things you'll want to take pictures of. Okay, so let's start off with this. You should still be able to see me at the corner. Let me know where you are. Apologies, I am seated. I'm normally standing for these for more energy, but I've broken my toe. Now, we have got a lot to go through, including AI picks and where I think the market is going at the moment. So like I said, let me know in the chat box. You can see and hear me clearly. And also, if this is your first one, and where you're from. So kicking off, well, I've been looking at some headlines recently and they're fascinating and somewhat worrying. Has your pension lost a fifth of its value this year? We reveal the lottery of returns on work retirement plans. I had no idea workplace retirement plans are so bad. And the reason is because it didn't affect me. So I didn't know they were that rubbish. says the FT, give workers power to ditch pension schemes. I'm not surprised they're saying that. Value for money choice, Sarah Smart, chair of pensions regulator. Yeah, believe it or not, they actually have their own regulator. Pensions, why do those retiring face massive losses despite FTSE highs? Well, we're going to tell you why you have massive losses despite FTSE highs and why has an Aviva pension dropped 20%? And surely they're supposed to be low risk, especially if you're close to retirement. Well, that's not what you're getting. Of course, what they want you to do is increase your contribution. I'm going to talk about the markets in just a second. Carwin, Mitchell, Maria, welcome one and all. I'm going to talk about the markets in a second, but don't be fooled. What they want you to do is, of course, increase your contribution from 6% to 12% so that the fund manager gets a lot more money. Well, actually, it doesn't make that much difference. You double that contribution, doesn't double your pension size. It barely budges it. What you're going to see as I show you with numbers and data in the course of this broadcast is improving your performance is actually critical, because a small percentage improvement in performance makes a massive difference to your pension size, whereas doubling your employee contribution barely moves your pension size. Okay, this is an article from the papers. Like I said, before we get into the market as a whole, I want to draw this scandal to your attention. Aviva was not alone in doing this. A few years ago, Aviva noted in their annual statement that I was approaching retirement age. My pension was being moved into Safer Investments, its lifestyle investment program, he recalls. He was told this meant your pension fund is moved from funds with greater exposure to the stock market into more cautious investments. This helps reduce your exposure to risk from stock market fluctuations. This is what they're told because this is what they learned in old textbooks. Aviva was not alone in doing this. It is estimated that in terms of the big providers, about 10 billion pounds is being funneled through lifestyle funds. These are often labeled cautious, low risk, or protected. But in the worst cases, these funds lost close to 40% of their value during 2022, much of it during the market convulsions after Liz Truss. Brown assumed his pension pot in its later years would be invested safely, perhaps largely in simple savings account that would not lose value. Some was about a quarter of his money, but the rest went into bonds. Don't blame the stock market when you lose 20 to 40% of your pension. Wasn't ours, wasn't the stock market. It was idiot fund managers. Well, wait a minute. Aviva? Dodgy little place, is it? No. Should they know better? That's the best you've got. That's the best you've got. Those are the best and most educated. So when the Dow rises to close at fresh records, yeah, Chubby here is getting wealthy, but he's not a fund manager. So we better learn how to improve our performance because God knows we're getting screwed elsewhere. Thank you very much, David. Well, I've got the book coming out to you as well. Really appreciate that. Now, let's just look at this. One of my students sent me this, and God bless him, because I'd actually hadn't done the calculations. Let's say you start off with 200,000 in your pension and you can get 10%. Okay, well, that would compound. And after 15 years, you'd end up with 835,000. Okay, shy of a million. Were you able to get 20%, and there's no guarantees of that by any means, although the NASDAQ was up 55% last year and the S&P 500 was up 25% last year, but there's no guarantees that would continue, and those were exceptional years. And we'll look at their returns in a second. then you would go from 200,000 to, in 15 years, 3 million. Let's say you start off with 400,000 in your SIP, ISA, or pensions combined. 10% per annum gets you to 1.6 million in 15 years. Not bad. Problem is, most of these pension funds and fund managers are getting you half of that. They're getting you 4%. Okay, let alone if you were to get 20% and just do what the S&P's done in recent years, no guarantees of that. Okay, then 400 becomes 6 million. Well, forget that. You'd probably stop at, I think you'd stop in 6 years and say, bugger it, I'm done. You'd only need 6 years of that and you're done. And you'd say, well, I don't need to worry about the rest of it. Of course, none of these massive returns are guaranteed by any means. But what they show you is it's far more important to improve performance than it is for you to constantly forego and put more and more money into your pensions because the fund managers are rubbish. Okay, what would you rather do? That your money works harder for you, or you keep putting more in and forego more holidays and all the rest of it because the fund managers are rubbish? So what do these returns look like? Well, 10 to 20%, that's all the years in which that happened. And that's just the S&P. Okay, that's just the S&P. Over 10% in every single one of these years. So all of these years were over 10%. Well, how are we going to make sure we don't ever have bad years? How are we going to make sure that these years don't drag us down? Quite frankly, I don't mind the minus tens and zeros because they're actually cancelled out by the exceptional years over here. What we're really trying to avoid are these few big bad years, okay? Because actually, if you get a few minus 10s or minus 20s, well, actually, you've got so many plus 10s, plus 10 to 20s, 20 to 30s, 30 to 40s to 50s, they'd cancel those few bad years out. It's really the big bad years you're trying to avoid, right? So how do we do that? How do we possibly do that when we're not trying to time the market? We're talking about investing. We're not talking about trading. And that's what I'm going to discuss and show you in this as well. And just to go through the numbers again, I love these online calculators. Let's say you started off with 350,000. You contributed 1,000. Let's say you did get it up to an 18, which is basically these years would all give you an average of 18. Whoops. These, anything north of 10% gives you an average of 18 because you've got years where you get 40s and 50s and 60s. Actually, to be honest, anything over pretty much over zero will give you an average of 18 because you've got all these years which are significantly over 18%. Then in 5 years, you would get 807,000. So 350 becomes 807. The numbers get ridiculous. But the reason is because of this, and that doesn't happen unless we get one of these or many of these. How do we make sure that we're first exposed to it to get it? And that's obviously not the UK markets, that's the S&P 500, what my investments are in. When I first wrote in the Financial Times, and then I published 18 of these books, my first paragraph of my first column in 1999 was, I'm selling all my UK holdings and only buying US ones. Okay, and well, yeah. What we're trying to do, and I give this example with Meta, is we're trying to make sure that when the markets are rising, that we get some of that action. We're not shoved in Shell and BP and a whole bunch of crappy companies because our IFA wants to sell us a Vietnamese fund and an emerging market fund and a European fund and a pharmaceuticals crap, basically because they want to make commissions off kickbacks they get from introducing new funds. So they want to introduce new funds every year to you because new funds, new kickback. Okay, because fresh money earns more money than recurring fees that come from holding into there. So what do we want to do? Well, first of all, when the markets are rising, that's the easy bit. As Warren Buffett says, when the tide goes out, that's when you see people are swimming without shorts. Now, I have a very simple rule, okay, on exits. Rule number one, 12 months and I review. So if it doesn't look good in 12 months, I'm out of there. Well, let's assume that it's still on my approved list after 12 months. What's the approved list? I'll come into that. It's ticking all my boxes for value, growth, income, cash flow, momentum, Sortino, Alpha. We'll come into all of those later. All right, so let's say it still does that. Then what's the other exit rule? There's two. If it drops within those 12 months, 25% from the high, then I've got to get out. Okay, it's just for whatever reason. But I might get out sooner if I never want to hold a stock where the monthly MACD is falling below its signal. And you might say, what the hell? It works for me. You don't have to follow it if you don't want. Just use the if it drops X, I'll sell Y. For me, if it drops 25%, I'll sell 100%. But I might sell 50% if it drops 10%. I don't want that scenario ever happening. I don't want to hold it there. I don't want to hold it in those scenarios. That's how we got out of Meta. How did we get back into it? Well, very simple, because it was on the approved list in January of 2023 and the MACD was rising then. It wasn't falling. It was rising. Simple. Okay. What does that do? Well, it does a couple of things. It means the subsequent 253% return you get to pocket. You don't end up with a 0% return over 2 years, which is what your fund manager has done. Now, if you look at Fundsmith this year, they'll talk about how they're up 10%, 17%, whatever the hell they are. What they won't tell you is over 2 years, they're down. Ask them, what are you up? What's happened since January 2022? Give me 2022, give me 2023. What's it look like? Be zero or less than zero. Okay. In the case of Scottish Mortgage, they're down 50%. We'll come to these in a second, right? We need to avoid those falls. They happen once every 6 years. We need to avoid those falls because we need to do that. For me, the simplest way has always been the monthly MACD. I do not want to hold anything which is oversold and falling from a high. You might say, what's that got to do with fundamentals? It doesn't. It's to do with momentum. When the markets fall, they don't fall on fundamentals. They fall on momentum. Everybody looks at everyone else and says, I'm getting the hell out of this ship. They don't. They panic. Human nature. Okay, I might enter on fundamentals. I exit on momentum. Simple as that. Those are the years I'm missing. I don't care if I get an odd year where I'm down 1%, 2%, 3%, 5%, because these other years will make up for it anyway, because there's more of them. The market rises more often than it falls. I get tailwinds more often than I get headwinds. I'm not clever. I'm riding on the coattails of tailwinds, right? And there's more of those than there are headwinds. And the only clever thing I do is make sure I avoid that scenario. So how do we do all of this? And I'll come to it. This is Fundsmith, by the way. Ask them, how have you done since 2022 to 2024, 0%. 0% on your pension. How'd you do, Alpesh? Well, Meta itself gave us 250% because we avoided that drop. How did we avoid it? That can't funds do that. No, they can't go into cash. Simple as that. What about Scottish Mortgage? Ooh, really bad. You got your arms blown off here. That's down 50%. 50%. Yeah, to date, you lost half your pension. See those headlines I showed you earlier? That's why. I'm not new to this. I've been writing books about this. I've been writing in the Financial Times about this. I have lectured on these issues. Right. You might want to take a picture of this. Annual cost of SIP providers. Take a picture. Be careful, though. If you go for the cheapest one like a Vanguard, the reason they're often cheap is because they hardly let you buy anything other than their own products. So do be careful about that. Okay, North Lambeth, Rochester, Denver, Colorado. Mitchell, phenomenal. Maria from beautiful Oxford. Well, there you go. Wasn't that timely, Maria? Look at that. You'll recognize the Radcliffe camera. Okay, take a picture of that if you wish. I'm not going to talk about brokers at the moment. We can always come back to it. I'll give you an example. We had a student who opened Best Invest only to discover they barely buy and sell any stocks. So they were cheap, but not that cheap. Actually, they're one of the most expensive ones. You get to half a million, so they're not that cheap either. My event is full. Just some personal news before we get into the markets. My event in Parliament tomorrow is absolutely full. We've got 200 people coming to a business event I'm hosting. There'll be future ones. Keep an eye out on my Telegram, alpeshpatel.com/links. There's the boy. It was his birthday yesterday. More personal news. And if you want to go to this event with the Royal Air Force for a newspaper that I write for, it's at the Targe in Buckingham Gate. RSVP that one, so you might want to take a photo of that as well. Let's get to the markets. How are they doing? They're expensive still. Price earnings ratio, you're paying $30.47 for every $1 of future expected Microsoft profits, whereas in energy it's cheap, drugs are cheap, banking and asset management is cheap, however, and telecom services are cheap. So all things being equal, we'd want those. I don't think tobacco is cheap, but I'm sorry. So what does that mean? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for you? Well, it means valuation is not the only thing that we should look at, obviously. So when your fund manager or IFA says we're going to get a value fund, hit them over the head with a wet fish because they're idiots. because what they're then saying is we're not going to get you any of those stocks in red, which, by the way, just happen to be the ones which deliver all the returns, because they're only looking at valuation. Ask them, are they congenitally stupid or is it non-hereditary? Because if you only looked at valuation, and it is important to look at valuation, but it's not the only thing. I've just stated the obvious. Okay, how are things looking at the moment? S&P 500, still strong. We'll have a look in detail at it. The NASDAQ, still strong. Microsoft, going sideways for a bit. We're getting a bit cautious. Apple, of course, I've said I wouldn't buy more off today, but I'll come into more detail. Nvidia, there'll be some profit taking. Meta, I won't buy more of it today, but I'll look at it in a second. Google's come off a little bit. Amazon, still strong. So let's look at those all in detail as we go through. And as you know, I look at value, growth, income. I want my stocks to be undervalued and growing. Why would you not? How's that worked out for you, Alpesh? Well, what do you think? Undervalued companies which are growing in revenues and earnings and producing dividend yields and lots of cash flow, which according to Goldman Sachs Wealth Management and their data and research, which I have in slides, I'll show you those later, generates 30% per annum returns over the long term. Long term as in 12 months, 30% on average, some years less, some years more. I want that ticked. I want momentum ticked. I certainly want Sortino, which is high average returns and low volatility, ticked, and Alpha, which is outperformance of the market in rising or falling conditions. I bloody well want that ticked as well. Have I missed something? Oh, you didn't talk to the management. Well, what, as Warren Buffett would say, what they're going to tell me other than they're bloody amazing? Have I missed something? Tell me. Oh, well, you missed the bulletin boards and the Twitter chat and the Reddit talk and the speculation and the rumors. Yep. You missed all the noise. Yep. Thank you very much. That's our approach. We need all of those to be green. Okay. Every single one of them before we look at things. How's the past week been? Well, I'll tell you how the past week has been. Microsoft was up. Nvidia shot up again. I think it's on drugs because it's that high. Broadcom, strong. All of these strong. Now, notice what I just said. If your IFA has ever put you in a value fund, well, then they've obviously ignored these because, and they're the ones that are shooting up. Right? Proof right there in two slides why IFAs are idiots. Okay? I've never met a clever one. Consumer, cyclical, Amazon, Tesla. Yeah, we'll look into some of these. That's how the performance has been. Broadly, it's been a lot of green, as you can see. ETFs over the past month, as I've said before, just be careful. You're not accidentally getting leverage. Some of these which have gone up 20% are leverage. ETFs, if you particularly want exposure to a foreign country, a lot of you keep asking me about China. It's up to you. There's a China ETF there. There's a few. It's just racist, isn't it? Some of the ticker symbols. you can have a look there at those and look them up yourself. I'm not going to, in this webinar, talk much about exchange-traded funds other than I first wrote about them in my Financial Times columns in 2000. So I've been a big fan for a long time. Markets, year-to-date. Well, the NASDAQ's up 6.8%. The S&P 500 is up 6%. I hope your pension's up at least that much. The Dow is up half of that. And the UK markets are down. It's, as I keep joking, it's like saying, you know, you start any sentence about war and you say, and the French surrendered, which is not fair or accurate, but I'm just saying. It's like, oh, and the UK markets are down. I was looking at the FTSE 350. The FTSE 350, 350 largest FTSE companies, is at the same levels it was in 2017. One job you have on the board of a FTSE 100 or FTSE 350 company, or increase shareholder value, make the share price go up. One job. Now, you have lots of incidental duties around that, like make sure nobody steals the company assets, blah, blah, blah. Make the share price go up. I mean, why the hell else are you on the stock market if it's not to make the share price go up? What, to look pretty, have bragging rights at dinner? No, make the share price go up. One job. 8 years, you didn't do it. Wow. It's pretty impressive. And they pay these people a lot of money. As I get older, I'm starting to think the city and finance is such a scam. Okay. Where are we in terms of what is moving things? What is moving things? Communications up 9%. You don't hear people saying that. They talk about tech AI. Well, actually, it's comms. XLV is healthcare, followed by finance. Where's tech? Tech is all the way down here. You talk to me about diversification. You've got it. There's four different sectors right there. Throw in a bit of industrials. Never understood what that means. I do, but boring, isn't it? My dad floated an industrial company. It makes dyes, dye manufacturing company on the Mumbai Stock Exchange. So I do know what industrials are. Before that, it was a guar gum company. Guar gum's the component in fracking. Anyway, that's all in sight. That's what is moving it. What factors are moving it? Well, momentum. Luckily, we tick the momentum box. Simple. Okay. IVW. Why do we do things the way we do it? Well, because we didn't know at the start of the year which of these horses was going to be winning. So what we did is not bet on all of them. We bet on making sure we tick the momentum box, the value box, the growth box, so that if those win, we win. And well, wait a minute, Alpesh. What about the losing ones? Like what is losing? What's down here? IJJ got mid-cap value. You tick the value box, Alpesh. Yes, we did. But we also tick the momentum, which meant that the stock had to be not just value, but also momentum. And guess what? Momentum's up. So the stock was up in combination. We didn't just pick value. We picked value and momentum. That's how we do it. It's very simple when you explain it to people. That's how you end up winning, because the winning component of the factor is what drags it higher. Whereas if you only try to bet on each individual horse, the statistical probability of being right is, well, like betting on horses. Markets over the 1 year, NASDAQ's up 50%. Is your pension up 50%? Lewis, Coifin. This is from Coifin. Okay, it's a paid platform. is your pension up 50% in the past year? If it was tracking the NASDAQ, it would be. S&P 500, 27% up over the past year. The Dow, 18. The UK, 6. Okay, thanks. That's 9 times more, 8.5 times more. So basically, the NASDAQ has done in 1 year, 9.5 times more than the UK. If the UK did what it did last year for another 9.5 years, you'd get the NASDAQ in last year. So put another way, in 9 years, your pension will be as big as mine is in percentage terms. It's going to take you for freaking ever, isn't it? Get out of those UK markets. Top 10 S&P stocks, price percentage shown over the last year. That's those. We're going to come into some of these. And we're going to look at, obviously, some of these in a moment. These are the worst performers. So it's not everything goes up. And that's the caveat. Not everything goes up. Look at this, right? Some things drop. Okay. Not everything goes up. FTSE 350. I don't have any of these. Not interested, but just telling you. Carl, you know, there isn't. You'd watch these broadcasts. Bottom 10 FTSE 350 stocks. That's these. S&P 500. S&P 500. What do I think? I think this. I think we've got, I'm comfortable. I think I'm happy. That's my bullish case. Now we've got 20% to the upside. That's my bullish case. Okay. Just making sure you can see and hear all of this. FTSE 100. Getting tired of saying this. It's pretty much gone nowhere for so long, I couldn't care less. Now, NASDAQ 100, still think it's got legs in momentum, and I think just as it had here, it's got more legs to the upside. Thankfully, there's profits being generated in companies out of this. Now, let's start looking at individual stocks. My worries regarding Apple still remain the same. Worry about downward momentum. The issues are buy, hold, and sell. So where are we on that? Well, I'm not selling. I continue holding what I've got. I wouldn't buy more at the moment. When would I sell? Well, if it drops 15%, then I'll have a look at it. But for the moment, wait and see. Wait and see. Alphabet's for Great Investments Program. Microsoft, that's the angle. And I'm expecting that. It is topping off a bit. Okay, so be careful. And it's done this before where it could have quite a few where it panics you and then it has one last fandango, right? But for the moment, and it's getting expenses. This is the price earnings ratio. It's now a bit toppy. It could drop back. You could easily see it drop. But for the moment, because it hasn't dropped X, I don't need to sell Y. Because it's not dropped anything. So I don't need to over anticipate and think about future hypotheticals. I'll wait and see. Amazon, Oh, by the way, what does that mean in terms of buy, hold, and sell? Well, I'm obviously not selling. I continue holding what I've got. Would I buy today more? Yeah, if you put a gun to my head, but you don't need to put a gun to my head because I already hold it. I hold a ton of it. Okay. Disney, still looking okay. Let's hope it doesn't do that, but looks fine. Okay. The other thing with Disney, which is interesting, is we've not had any what's called price earnings inflation, PE inflation. What does PE inflation mean? It means for the same level of earnings, the price goes up. Why might it do that? Well, people are more optimistic about the future, might be one reason. And if you get that, you could keep the profits the same. But if the PE ratio went from, say, 50 to 100, for argument's sake, okay, you'd see the company double in price without the earnings doubling. And you might say, well, that would make it very expensive. I don't care if something's expensive as long as I'm making money. Okay, don't forget my YouTube channel where you will hear me talking about why fund managers should be locked up. NVIDIA, now, as I kept saying, it's overbought. Look, it's overbought. I don't like buying stuff when it's that overbought. So would I buy more? No, unless you had some strategic FOMO reason to own it and you said, forget you, Mr. Patel. I am buying this no matter what. AI is the future. I don't care. And I'd say, fine, go for it. Would I continue holding what I've got? Well, of course, I've got no reason to sell it because it doesn't drop. When it drops X, when it drops 10%, I'll have a think and I'll talk to you about it. Am I selling any at the moment? No, why would I sell prematurely? Tesla, we got out of it, as you know, in October. It was a special situation from January, and it's now sort of flatlining a bit. It's not a special situation at the moment. I'm showing it because it's a bellwether. It's because people are interested in it. Sorry. NXP, I continue liking, okay, and own. Qualcomm, I continue liking and own. ServiceNow, I own. Netflix, I don't own, haven't owned, but the reason I've covered it since it had those big earnings is to show you two things. One is I can't buy everything. Secondly, it's a bellwether. It's something which people love to look at, and it's popular, so I thought I'd cover it. And thirdly is because to show you that even after good results like there, so getting in here is not too late. Because look, you all had all of that gain. So I just wanted to show that. I'm going to show you some AI picks. I'm going to show you some AI picks. Stan, it's 35% on US and about 16% on UK. And that's been helped because obviously last year it was 80%, which I'll show you in a second because the markets were good. So I can't take credit for that. And in 2021, the markets were ridiculously good. 2022, it was barely above 0% because the markets fell 25%. So we were in cash most of the year. So there's a massive variance. You've got to allow for the massive variance. I wish it was like a bank account, but that's what it comes to. And it comes to that just because, well, just look at what the S&P and the NASDAQ have done over the last 10 years. It's not me. It's because some of those things have gone up 1,000%. If I was really clever, I would have just put money in Apple 10 years ago, I guess, or Microsoft, and nothing else, because then it would have given me 100% return per annum. So this is AI. It's not one I would pick. So I put all this data into AI. Okay, I'll show you all the data. I put all this data into AI, and then I said to AI, take all this data, plus I gave it some additional data from the accounts of companies. Then I said, I want you to weigh all of these factors based upon, imagine you've read all the most important literature, especially from Nobel Prize winners who've written about stock price movements, what moves stocks, and all the academic literature. And I want you now to assess and tell me the best stocks, not based on what's happening in the news, but on the data, not on the short-term noise, because AI is not clever enough to do that. But on the academic literature of what moves stock prices plus the data that I'm feeding it. And so on those two narrow factors. So it came up with things like this, and I wouldn't pick this. I wouldn't pick it because I think it's overbought. You might say, well, you're bloody wrong, Alpish, because RBC Capital would, Raymond James would. Goldman Sachs said it's a buy in October. I said, well, fine, we'll see. I mean, I might be wrong. AI and Goldman Sachs versus Alpish Patel. Who are you going to put your money on? AI and Goldman Sachs on one side say buy MPLX. I don't know what the hell they do. And Alpish Patel says don't. Who are you going to put your money on? You traitors. Vista Energy was another one, and I wouldn't. I've put it here. AI pick, not one I would pick. I just think it's overbought. Jefferies and Morgan Stanley both think you should put your money in. So artificial intelligence and Morgan Stanley versus Arpish Patel. Who's going to be right over the next 12 months? By the way, I told AI over the next 12 months. Matador Resources. Now, this one isn't too bad. Notice I haven't put an AI not sticker. This isn't too bad. It's a little bit risky because it's not oversold, which I'd really want the graph to be down here. And it could easily just go like that. But look at all these banks saying they love it. And look at the seasonality. And AI likes it. So it's not one I own, just so you know. But AI likes it. You might want to look more deeply into it. This is not investment advice for you because literally picked it off AI. This is not one that I would own. It's one it picked because I think it's overbought. But again, who are you going to go with? Are you going to go with Barclays and artificial intelligence or Arpish Patel? Okay, O'Reilly, again, this one is overbought. I've not put the no AI sticker because I've owned this in the past and it's been so good and it just keeps bloody going up. But they all do before they all fall. Goldman Sachs or me? I wouldn't buy it today because it's just a bit expensive, as in momentum's too high. Momentum's too high here as well. So not one for me, but Phillips 66, I'm sure you've all heard of. So again, who are you going to go with? All those banks and artificial intelligence or me? Okay, I'll speak to you all. I'll answer your questions in a second. Deckers Outdoor AI picked it. It's not one for me. You can keep an eye on these, and you know, it might be in 12 months they've all doubled, and we say, bloody hell, just keep doing that, Alpesh. You shut up. You just keep doing what they're doing. So now, I wanted to show Deckers because we previously owned it here. We got out, and you might say, well, you got out prematurely. Yeah, I guess we did. We got out prematurely, but it continued, you know, made 48%. And it continues rising, but I just worried it's a bit overbought, okay? And it's had a lot of PE inflation, which makes it, that's only got one way to go as well. So whoops, not one for me. Medpace was one of ours from last year, which was one of our best performers, I'll show you. And it had done bloody well, but now it's a bit overbought, and I'm just worried when that happens, it can do this. So not one for me right now, I'm afraid, and neither is, well, Visa I continue holding, just so you know, I continue holding this. So Medpace we had last year, but this I continue holding because it's, we bought it a long time ago. So it's one I hold. It's not one I'd necessarily buy today because I think it's a bit toppy, might have a bit more to go before it drops. I know all these banks like it, and AI came up with this as well, by the way. These are all AI ones still I'm talking about. All right. They're all out. I've still got a lot more to cover for you. You keep referring to the MACD, giving an indication of ourselves, but I can't see the correlation. If you can't see it, don't use it. Don't use it. If you can't see it, don't use it. It's not for buy or sell. It's not for buy. For buy, it is fundamentals, value, growth, income, cash flow, Sortino, Alpha, all of those. For sell is if it drops X, sell Y. So don't worry about the MACD. Just say if it drops X, you'll sell Y. Simple as that. How would you do it 200K if that's the only money you have? For me, it'd be 20 stocks. For me, this is not advice to you because I don't know anything else about you. For me, it'll be 20 stocks. I'll pick from my five quality picks, which are the 2Ms and the 3As, but it won't be all of them, as you've heard and seen today, which is Microsoft, Meta, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet. And then the other 20 equal money from stocks which are all green here for me, okay, which will be my filtered stocks. That's how I do it, and it takes me about 5 minutes. Now, this is, I'm going to talk more stocks in a second. These are the main problems, as you know, keep coming up. When we asked 100 people, what, then this is what percentage of them. So some of them gave more than one answer, obviously. Pensions, low returns. IFA Wealth Manager, clueless. That is really popular. I don't know what happened to the other 58% who thought Wealth Manager was clueful. I don't know how to sack my IFA. That is really popular. Never done it myself. Okay. So I have done a load of videos on YouTube. You can watch them. I go through individual pensions as well. In fact, I don't even have enough time to go through every single one of the pension funds I'm asked to cover because there's so many atrocious ones people are not happy with. But if somebody really annoys you, let me know. I am happy to make them famous and light up their life by doing an analysis on why they're so poor as a fund manager. Follow me on LinkedIn as well. So is that even realistic? I mean, we're looking at undervalued companies. Well, that's a stupid thing to do. Why would you want something undervalued, Alpesh? Sorry, I'm being sarcastic. Which are growing, which are providing dividends and income. So that's attractive. And strong cash return on capital invested, which is what Goldman Sachs Wealth Management uses for its wealthiest clients. And I'll show you their slides in a second, which generates 30% per annum on average over the long term, which their data shows. And what's worked for us as well. But we don't just use Goldman Sachs's approach and Deutsche Bank Wealth Management's approach, which is the croaky. And I'll come to that in a second. I want all of these boxes ticked. So that we got from Goldman Sachs Wealth Management, and I'll show you the slides in a second. Like I said, that's 30% per annum over the long term from their data. We've managed to extract a bit better than that, not much. And that might just be accident or coincidence or luck. So just assume 30 on there. Because we've also want to tick undervalued growth, income, dividend yields. Momentum is important. Sortino has to be green. Alpha has to be green. You can look up Sortino and Alpha and why they're so incredibly important, not just in the hedge fund industry, but if you want to make money, why Sortino and Alpha are so incredibly important and why you want them in your portfolio. You can just Google that. Okay. So can you get 40? Well, if there's a tailwind, you can't do it every year. It's got to be a 2021 or 2023. If it's high Sortino, high alpha stocks, in other words, high returns, low volatility to the downside, and outperforms the market. If there's a tailwind, it goes even further. And if there's a headwind, it doesn't fall as far. That's what alpha means. So we just pick alpha stocks. Simple. How'd you get alpha stocks, Alpesh? Well, I just told you, if the market goes up, they do better. And if the market falls, they do better. That's how you get them. What your fund manager will do is give you a whole load of BS about how they've got so many degrees and they can see into the future of this, that, and the other, and that's how they generate alpha. They're freaking idiots if that's what they're doing, because the bloody number's right there. Number's right there. The market will tell you what the alpha is of a stock. You don't need PhD in quantum mechanics to be able to see into the future. They'll just tell you that because they're marketing to you. Do not be fooled into thinking that just because they've got a degree, that they're not trying to sell you something. Not UK, not emerging markets. It's really going to be the 10,000 odd stocks that I have out of the US. Because 10,000 is a good number out of which to pick. The other markets are too small. If you can go to cash in bad years. Now, if you can't go into cash like we showed you with this, if you can't escape and go into cash because the MACD is overbought, falling, the momentum is clearly downwards like there. If you can't do that, then you're not going to get your 40% because you're going to have lost 80%. The alternative is if it drops X percent, let's say 15%, you'll sell 50. And if it sells 25%, drops 25%, you'll sell the other 50. That's the other simpler way of doing it without using the MACD at all. Okay, if it drops X, sell Y. That's the other simple way of doing it. I'm trying to keep it simple for you. Okay. You can get those returns if good years make up for bad. If there's no more good years, you'll never get it. If croaky stocks, because Goldman Sachs's research shows and our experience shows 30% per annum there. And if you hold for 12 months, then reevaluate. If you hold for 1 month, you're not going to get it because you'll be trading too much. If you hold, buy and hold forever, you're not going to get it, because if you buy and hold forever, all that'll happen is this. You'll get a drop in a V and you're, oh, it still worked out. No, it didn't. You got 0% over 2 years, whereas we got 250%. You got zero. Zero? 250. What's the bigger number? Okay, it's that simple. So you're going to need that. And if you sell anything which drops, as I said, otherwise you're going to hold some stuff which drops 80%. So what happens when that happens? Well, I'll tell you what happens. This is an email from December. I've also been following your twice weekly stock market updates and blown away the information you provide. Recently, I've been able to check my own pension with Legal & General. This is provided by my employer. The information was shocking. 20% growth between 2012 and 2022, 20%, not per annum, in total. As you can imagine, I've now taken steps to remove this and control the funds myself. Currently, I can get 5% interest at the least. Yes, you can. Right, as I said earlier, I've been following your weekly report and I've invested very limited funds, but I've seen returns of around 20% this year, just in a year. She did in 1 year with me what she did with 10 years with bloody Legal & General, yet some people will defend Legal & General. Based on the growth percentage provided by that lady over 10 years, starting with 100K, if she'd put it in the NASDAQ, she should have got a 382% return. So the money would have become 482,000. 100,000 to 482,000. She'd be sitting pretty right now over those 10 years. Instead, she got this. She got about £20,000. Even if she did the S&P 500, she would have more than doubled her money, almost tripled it. Nothing to do with me getting those returns. I'm just saying, even if the market, that shows you how bad those pension schemes are. They are a scam for middle-aged boys and girls to send their children to private school and rip you off. Just follow the numbers. My approach, you take all the stocks you can get your hands on, in my case, all the New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ stocks, you tick the value box. Somebody asked me once, well, how's that worked out for you then, Alpesh? Well, value, growth, income. What do you think? I tick the value, the growth, the income. I might have said that already in this webinar, but it really annoyed me. Cash flow. Okay. Then I want about 15 to 20 stocks, hold 12 months and repeat, wash and repeat, wash and repeat. So how did we do? How did we do last year? Well, better give you some disclaimers before I tell you. The market was up 25% on the S&P. We can't take credit for that. The following is US. We do select London Stock Exchange European stocks, but I buy US. And I'm only including those in this. The performance wouldn't have been as good if it was UK stocks. I can tell you that now. So I've cherry-picked just my US. Well, that's what I invest in anyway, so why not? Further filtered final list, which is my curated final list, MACD rising ones, quality five, and special situations. So we took from what we take from, which is my quality five, special situations, the rising MACD, and further filtered final list. That's what we pick from. This from January to December. Okay, I do buy during the course of the year. Like, there were some great returns from Costco, Intel, Adobe. They can't be included because I'm only looking at January to December, 12-month period. Does not include overweight holdings or leverage. For instance, I have 2x leverage. Microsoft still, Amazon, Alphabet still. Okay, but I'm not including those in this performance. This was not a typical year last year. I might never get a return like last year ever again, right? Because the market might not do what it did ever again. Much of 2022, for instance, was in cash. That was a 0% year. Well, it was a single digit, nothing to write home about. Does not mean any of the positions I'm about to show you will be held into 2024. So how did we do? That's how we did. Now, why? What happened? Well, let's be clear. We used the same approach, which got us minus 1%, has got us 238%. It'd have to be like that if you think about it, because if it wasn't, then we'd only pick one stock. If the same return could be achieved by the same approach, value, growth, income, cash flow, Sortino, alpha, then we would simply have got, if that's what would have happened, then we simply would have picked one stock. And I wish I had in hindsight, I wish I'd just picked NVIDIA or just Meta or just Sterling or even just Tesla, okay? But that was the return. And notice how many of them got, well, pretty mediocre returns, 22, 26, minus one, right? So they didn't all beat the index. One was negative. In other words, it's going to be your outliers and the ability to capture some of the outliers, which might give you crazy returns. It isn't that one approach gives you exactly the same return over 15 different stocks, because if it did, you would just buy one stock. Okay, so give an example, Medpace came out. I didn't even know what Medpace or Sterling Infrastructure were at the start of the year. I knew the others, but I hadn't heard about those. Is that year typical? No. Is that an average year? No. Is it like the weather? There's more extremes. Yeah, it looks like it, because the year before was zero. The subsequent year was 80. Oh, what's your average? Well, it's 40 then. That's not very useful, is it? That's the arithmetic mean. What's your median? You can't even work it out with that. Okay, what's your mode? Doesn't work out. You've only got two numbers. So bloody pretty useless when people go, what's your typical average? They think it's a freaking bank account. They just don't understand how the stock market moves, which worries me. Well, it's like the weather. We're getting greater extremities in performance. And what we're trying to do is avoid the bad ones. The good ones, fine. Okay.
for those who don't know, just checking any questions, those who don't know, it's only recently realized that a tub on my workplace pensions have performed over the last 20 years. Large part was LNG. Oh, God, sorry, Paul. I've just moved everything to a SIP and going to manage myself. 15 years to retirement. Hopefully I can do much better. 15 years is a good run-up. As you saw with the numbers I showed you earlier, it's a good run-up. It's a good run-up. Carwin, what distinguishes your quality five stocks from special situations? Carwin, it's almost a long story. What had happened is in 2016, I thought there was going to be a market crash. There wasn't. So I looked for stocks which were quite resilient. In 2016 were quite resilient to what happened in 2008. It just so happened it was those five stocks, and because I just looked at the data, and there wasn't a market crash, and those stocks the market fell in love with because they had lots of cash and so on. So I continued doing rather well, and I've just kept the same terminology ever since. That's all. Okay, transfer is very easy to do to any broker. Now, brokers, Free Trade, Hargreaves, Invest, Interactive Investor, AJ Bell. This is how you pick a broker. Find the stocks you want to buy and then call them up and say, I want to buy whatever, £10,000 of Costco. And ask them, how much are you going to cost on yours? How much are you going to cost on yours? How much? Then you'll know. And I'd say that because all of these have so much little small print. Oh, for the first £5,000, it's this. And then it goes up to this. Then you reduce this to this. And then it does. I don't do my own accounts. Do you do your own accounts? That's what you'd have to do to work out those rates. It's a bloody pain. AI, as I already said, I don't know if those are going to be that good because I told you which ones I didn't like. Last year, we had some really good AI ones. I'll continue giving you AI ones in the future. Please beware of this. People pick on name recognition. In 1 in 6 years, when the market falls, these funds will ruin your pensions. It's 50% drop. 50% drop. Whatever methodology you use, whether you're using mine or not, I don't mind. What I care about is that you please remember to tick value and growth. That doesn't mean you have a value fund and a growth fund. That means each pick has to tick the value box and the growth box. And if your IFA refuses to do that, then ask them, why don't you want stocks which are undervalued and growing? Why are you trying to flog me a load of funds? And how much kickback do you get when I buy one of those funds? Okay. And then do this test. Can I call you on a Saturday at 9 p.m. to discuss my portfolio for an hour? Because my clients can. When you're in the Maldives, ask them that. Do what our pushers do. We really want to blow these people out of the water. You do want momentum because there is some persistence, and statistically look for high Sortino, high alphas, okay, as well. If you ask me what's the most important factor, I would probably say that followed by that would be the two most important factors. And that's what I'm looking at. Okay. 12 months, 15 to 40 stocks, 25%. If they drop, then you exit. Okay. And that's the reason why you're looking roughly around the 20 mark over there. If you plan to invest over 10 years, and with my help, let's say, or just the education I'm giving you, lots of free education, you get 20% per annum, some years more, some years less. Look, 2022, zero. 2023, 80. Bloody hell. You know, it'd drive you insane, wouldn't it? Let's say you have 100K and you plan to add 1.5K to your portfolio. You will have a million over 10 years. Why? Because it'll go like this. You start with 100, you end up with a million. You've added a little bit. It's always good to add a bit of a contribution, obviously, but that's the exponential part. Why don't people do it? What you want to be in a position where you're getting 100 grand a year just from growth. That comes later. That's why people don't do it, because in the first few years, it's really tedious. Look at it. For the first 3 years, you barely budged. It's really tedious. That's me. It's my wife. He's now moved on from Barclays and is head of Kotak Bank, one of India's largest private banks. Non-state banks. That's me. They did my book launch, kindly enough. That's who I am. Those, you can find out all of the stuff that I've told you in my books. Who buys books anymore? So I'll tell you how you can download for free. That, just completely for free. It's through here. ArpishPatel.com/links. ArpishPatel.com/links. You can download the book, free copy of my book on trading, free copy of my Investing Unplugged book. Okay.
alpishpatel.com/links. Somebody's going to ask me, what was that again? My name, /links. Now, why do I say concentration of portfolio? Look at this. Look at that's Warren Buffett and that's Bill Gates. Let's zoom in a bit. I think I can zoom in. That's Warren Buffett's portfolio. It doesn't mean you go and buy it, okay? Don't go out and buy it. What it means is, look at how small, look at that at the bottom. What percentage of their portfolio? Their eighth largest holding, you're already down to less than 2%, less than 3%. Okay, same with Billy Boy. Look at that. That's Bill, right? Eighth holding, less than 2%. Less than 1.5% of his portfolio. What am I saying? I'm not saying you copy any of that. What I'm saying is, you might even look at some of these. What I'm saying is concentration. Put in the words of Warren Buffett, put all your eggs in one basket, watch the basket. But you can only watch the basket if you've got the data and the knowledge, okay, of what you're looking for. This is, I think, incredibly important. I came across this purely by accident. When I launched the hedge fund in 2004, Goldman Sachs, a couple of years later, invited me to a lunch with Jim O'Neill, and there were about 9-10 others in the lunchroom. And then the quantum division team came in to their research and development team, and they presented as this. And I took the presentation because I was blown away. Because what they discovered is cash return on capital invested. That means cash flow over capital invested. Okay, so how much of a money printing machine do they have, basically? Do they have a license to print money? Cash coming out of their capital. Right? Think of it like an interest rate. And what they discovered is companies in the top quartile, the top 25% by Croaky, generate 30% per annum returns. 30% per annum returns. Not me. I took the research from Goldman Sachs Wealth Management that's done for their wealthiest clients, and I applied it to companies which, thankfully, the likes of Nvidia, let's say, have been generating even more than that. So it's not me. It's clever companies like Nvidia and clever boffins like Goldman Sachs. I'm in the middle stealing their best ideas and riding their coattails. That's it. Why am I not trying to say I'm clever and a genius and blah, blah, blah? Because I'm not. I'm just doing something really simple. Take the knowledge from the best who are doing it for the richest and ride the coattails of the companies which are doing all the innovation. I wish I had the brain power to invent AI or anything like that. I don't. All I have the brain power to do is ride the coattails of others and their work. Good at that. And I refuse to take credit for it. Unless it's a woman. If I'm taking credit for a woman's hard work, I'm happy to do that all day long. That's a joke. It's what men are known for doing, taking credit for women. Right. 12-month holdings. I've mentioned this. Risk averse. That's what protects us from the downside. That's what protects us from the downside. Would you rate ROIC? I've not really done a comparison, so I couldn't tell you. People always ask me that. The letters are similar. But I've not done a head-to-head comparison. I probably should at some point. This is a typical portfolio, not mine, of a client's when they first joined me. And look at the amount of nonsense in there. They have been loaded with a bunch of low-performing UK companies and every fund under the sun. And they've been told, if you diversify, you'll be fine. You know. And then you look at their performance. That was their performance in 6 months during one of the biggest bull markets in the history of the world. That's gone forever. That, you know, and that's why they come to me. They say, this is what I'm left with, Alpesh. This is what the IFA has done to me. I'm happy to talk about this on the BBC because I do. This is the approach. I've been very fortunate to have a lot of people say very nice things about my stuff, whether it's my books or my way of doing things, from the Financial Times, thank you, Peter Temple, to Coutts Wealth Management, to BBC, to American Express, to hedge fund managers like Bernard. Thank you all very much. And we've had people who are incredibly happy with that approach, which I think is the way to go. My end goal. Somebody asked me today, what's your end goal? I've now decided I want to. I want to take St. James's Place's place on the FTSE 100. They are valued at 3 billion. They've got 900,000 clients. I want all of them. But just like Airbnb doesn't own rooms and Uber doesn't own cars, I don't want to own the client's assets. I want the clients to keep the assets. You manage your own money with whichever brokers you want. We provide you the data and the know-how. The data and the know-how. Not just the data, because everybody can do that. Not just the know-how, because that would be just pointing you to a library. You need both. Nobody's ever thought to do it that way. And I want to take all of St. James's Place's 900,000 clients and make them happier and wealthier than they are now. Simple as that. That was November. That was 2021. 2021 was rather good as well for the markets. That's why we did well. 100K is what a 20% return on a 500K ISA does. That's what it gets you. If you get an, if you get a 20% return, you get 100K. And then that compounds in future years. If you want to see what this approach, my approach is, have a look at arpeshpatelreviews.com. Feel free. And that you can download for free. Thank you for watching the webinar. It's on arpeshpatel.com/links. Okay, I've got a load of questions. Let me answer the questions. I wonder what I should, what page I should put you on so you can see. Well, that one's a good one. Questions, questions, questions. Dan, it's very hard not to act when you see PIC stock is falling 9%. Do you know why? Any physical tricks to stop anxiety? Stan, if you write the strategy beforehand and say, if it does this, I will do this, then you've written it beforehand, and you can, it's easier to make a plan to follow than try and think one. Any opinions on, are you buying anything right now or just holding and observing? Yeah, I did buy some stuff. Give me one second. I'll tell you what I bought. So on Friday, we'll have our new approved list out. And if anybody wants, I'll put a link up for the program. If anybody wants the program, the link's about to go up. You should be able to see it. So on Friday is when I'll make a decision. Friday and Saturday, we'll put the further filtered list. My team will put it together for me. They'll update all of this because this is updated monthly. And then I'll make a decision on anything new that I might be buying. And I honestly don't know before Friday and Saturday what there might be, which looks particularly good. So next week's broadcast should be rather good because it'll be the new month. But I'll tell you what I just bought the other week. ASML and NXP Semi. I've covered those anyway, I think, and Taiwan Semi. So now you know. Okay. I'm not going to mention the others I bought because it'd be unfair to the clients to tell you that. Audio's okay now. Sorry, and sorry about the audio. I think that might be your end, not mine, but it could be my end. Maria, any opinions on Rothschild Wealth Management, seeing as St. James's Place so bad? Well, Rothschilds are the ones who set up St. James's Place. I think the problem with wealth management industry generally is, can be summed up. You ask them what they're going to do in this scenario. And what they'll say is, and watch out for these key words, okay? Because then you know they're bullshitting you and they're not going to be able to go into cash, which is what you need them to do. What they'll say, you show them a picture of this, and what are you going to do in this scenario? And they're going to say to you, oh, well, don't worry, we'll be diversified and our fund managers will be able to allocate you to more companies or securities which are less risky. Then they'll turn around and say, but you tell us, if ever you feel a bit jittery, we can put you more into cash. Bullshit. Okay, so look out for words such as diversified, fund managers will, okay, those kinds of things will start getting you jittery. Which book would you recommend to go for first? This one. And you can download it for free. Or you can buy it if you wish. It's about £30. Palgrave Macmillan are the publishers. This is what Traders Mag, well, this is what Financial Times said about the book, okay? Financial Times, Peter Temple said, an intriguing book by one of the savviest traders around. It explores areas like asset allocation and diversification that are often neglected and little understood by the average private investor. Read this book and you are guaranteed to be a better investor. Peter Temple, Financial Times columnist and author. Right, you can download it for free. arpeshpatel.com/links. I'll tell you what Bernard Oppidu, manages Centaurus Capital, which is a $2 billion hedge fund, said. As a trader and financial journalist himself, Arpesh Patel is uniquely qualified to give you a behind-the-scenes view of financial markets and their interaction with the media. This book gives a very intelligent view of the art of investing and debunks a lot of myths. I recommend it to anyone who is serious about investing. Bernard Oppidu, founder Centaurus Capital, $2 billion hedge fund. That's where I come in. And it's free, Maria, arpeshpatel.com/link. Why am I making it free? I'll tell you why I'm making it free. I have a campaign that I'm doing, and I'm in Parliament tomorrow, and I'll talk about my campaign in Parliament tomorrow. I have a campaign to teach 1 million people how to invest to make an extra million in their pensions across their lifetimes. Now, you might think that's a big ask. It's not. You can reach a million thanks to the internet, and I'm not looking to reach them in just a year. And making a million across your lifetime thanks to compounding, given that some of the people will be in their 20s, okay, some will be in their 70s, so won't be so good for them, but it will be younger. That's not a big ask, especially when the NASDAQ goes up 55% in a year. What's a million times a million? It's a trillion. I've got a campaign to put a trillion into people's pensions by just teaching them how to be better investors. One way in which I'm doing it, not just through campaignforamillion.com, is making copies of my book available for free. The other way I'm doing it is getting the word out. Watch the webinars, watch the YouTubes, watch all of it, all these free services you've got, okay? And we're spending £1,000 a day on advertising. £1,000 a day on advertising on TikTok to get that message out, to get more people onto it. And I want to get a million people. That'll be my legacy on my deathbed. Got a million people, had the tools to get an extra million into their pensions across their lifetimes. I think that's pretty plausible. I think that's pretty plausible when you look at the maths. Do connect with me on LinkedIn. You got all of this other stuff here as well. So that's that. Let's see. What else have we got? Are you buying anything? Oh, no, I answered that. Liam, what book after that would you go through your suggested books that employees to read? To be honest, that one. Oh, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. Apologies, apologies, apologies. I see what you mean. Because I had the other ones, didn't I? Where did I put them? Was it earlier or later? Must have been later. He says, looking for the books. There we go. What would I say after that? What would I say after Investing Unplugged? Because we're talking about investing. Oh, I'd say Diary of an Internet Trader. They're my Financial Times columns, and they're really good. Okay, so that's good. Still available to sign up for the event tomorrow. No, not for the event tomorrow. Sorry, that's completely full up and more. Stan, okay, Liam, how would you rate? Thanks for being on it. Audio has stopped at my end. Martin, I promise using SIP for my workplace. My company would not send WP contributions. Yeah, they sometimes employers won't do it, in which case keep that part in your workplace and top up your SIP. So move your workplace into minimal, I guess. They only sent it to LNG and it was wasted. I know. Now I've left the last employer and I've moved it to HNL SIP. Thank you for sharing that. It's important other people know, because I obviously don't have a workplace pension because it's my own company, my own companies. Which platform do you use to buy stocks? Oh, great question. So I use all of them. And the reason is because when I was writing these books, I got into the habit of opening lots and lots of brokerage accounts just so I could assess them and test them for the books. So where's the thing gone? So I have a free trade. I've got a Hargreaves. I've got I haven't got an interactive investor. I've got AJ Bell. I've got Saxo IG. I've got loads. I've got E-Trade Schwab, TD, but there've been some mergers there. So I've got a lot. Okay, people, I better go. Like I said, if you're interested in the great investment, there's also some other free material I want you to look at. If you go to alpeshpatel.com/shares, there's some really good new stuff that I've put on. If you then alpeshpatel.com/shares, it'll take you here. Then what you do is you scroll down, you scroll down, you scroll down, you scroll down, and see this bit. Now, do you see those bits? Watch this. Can you manage your own pension? Should you transfer to it from your existing IFA? Watch that. Listen to that. I mean, I've written these. What returns you should be aiming for, how to clean up the portfolio mess you have, why your pension is only 20% in 10 years. That's in there, how 2022 was, but that's less important. Why your pension is losing money with fund managed IFAs. Do look at that. It's alpeshpatel.com/shares. Okay. alpeshpatel.com/shares. And those ones are really good and they'll sort of get the things cleaned up for you. So thank you all very much. Is your program coming with signals for data? That's a different one. If you want both, let me know. We'll see what we can do. If you want both the investing and the trading, let me know. We'll see what the team can do. What, if anything, do I need to do about currency risk for the US? Well, it's always been working in your favor, actually. And it's a good diversifier, I think, to hold US dollars. So I've not, it's never been something that I've worried about, especially if you're going to hold them for a long period of time. What's the risk that suddenly the dollar collapses and the pound gets really strong? Sorry, I tried not to laugh. Come on. Yeah, I'm one of those at 69 now. Sorry, what, if anything, do I need to do? Right. Is your program coming? Thank you so much for all this material insight. My pleasure, Maria. Thank you very much. And thank you, everyone else. I'm hoping that all the free stuff that I do in the market updates will, well, let me put it this way. I've written 17 other books. If I stopped and didn't do the videos, which are so easy to do, then it would all be going to waste. It's like I've got so much sunk cost in education information that why wouldn't I do these videos so the sunk cost isn't lost? Simple as that. Okay, people, I'm going to go now. It's 3:15 and I have been working nonstop for 4.5 hours, which is bad because I should walk. I might go for a walk or something. Now I need to sort of stretch my legs and think about something other than the markets, and plus the US has just opened over the last half hour, so I really want to see how that's doing as well. Thank you all very much. If I'm seeing you tomorrow, my Parliament event, I look forward to it. If not, there'll be future ones. Keep an eye out on Telegram. The best place to look is arpishpatel.com/links. Okay, so have a look at that, arpishpatel.com/links, as well. Thank you, Stan. Thank you very much indeed. I appreciate it. And there's a ton of free stuff, free portfolio reviews, my latest investment webinars, free due diligence meet on LinkedIn, free investing education, free Telegram, free Mind of a Trader book, free trading investing book. There's a lot of free stuff, free TikTok channel as well. There's a heck of a lot of free stuff. Oh, my TEDx talks, which are, I've done two so far. One of them was called If You're So Clever, Why Aren't You Rich? That's really good. The other one is The Mindset of Wealth, What Top Traders Can Teach Us About Achieving Success and Happiness. But really watch both of those, if I may say so myself. They're really good, the TEDx talks that I did for TEDx. So there we go. Okay, and if you want internship or work experience, let me know, or your kids do. I'm co-chair of Lumbar Foundation, which... with Lord Billamoria, founder of Cobra Beer, which supports widows and orphans. So if you want to know about that, then have a look at that. And if you like my work, please leave a thank you message. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Please leave a thank you message if you like my work. I should actually just send this to you now. I'm going to put that in here. If you like my work, please send a thank you message, please. There you go. That's all I asked for. I should ask for that in every single webinar, shouldn't I? It's a free webinar. Would you mind leaving a message of appreciation? That's all. Take a second of your time, good people. Thank you. Listen, everyone, I better go. Thank you all very much, and I'll send you a copy of the recording on your inbox ASAP, and on Telegram and on YouTube, so keep an eye out for it everywhere. Okay. Thank you all very much.